The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's just going to be like up high.
Thank you very much for listening to and downloading the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and Vinny Joshi, producer Vin.
Hello, all right.
We're back to normal service, aren't we? Because we had George Godfrey in for us last week in the Evening Show.
Yeah, we've been all over the place, haven't we?
Normally it means Vin's been to somewhere like Russia on a secret mission. This time we were covering Jolly Vaughan on the 4 till 7.
That's right, yeah. So George sat in, he chatted to Tudor and to Catfish, didn't he?
He had a good week, didn't he? George, I think George is brilliant. And I took him out and corrupted him twice as well.
He was initiated.
Yeah, we've shortened his life by 5 years. But on this show, Vin, this week we've been really busy. Monday was a brilliant one. Back in Black, AC/DC. It's 40 years old. I know that because it came out the year I was born.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's a stunning album, but it's so fun.
Yeah.
So raucous, rowdy, right?
For something that was a tribute to Bon Scott, to get something so upbeat and cheery.
Yeah, well, it's like what they said, it's a celebration, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a total celebration of them. It was a real thrill playing that back on Monday night. And as well as that, we had Gang of Youths this week, who, once again, we've brought a band in. I bemoan the lack of rock stars. David LaPepe.
He's lived a life.
He's 27 years old, and let's go through it. Jesus, God, marriage, death, alcoholism, suicide. I mean, he's covered off a lot of subjects.
And amazing, amazing music as well.
Brilliant music. Sprinkled with a little bit of Springsteen. They are brilliant. So I hope you enjoy the Evening Show podcast. If you do, please leave us a little review. It would mean an awful lot to us. Enjoy.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
This is the Evening Show, and I'm absolutely thrilled to say, in fact, I'm slipping off my chair with excitement, finally getting Australia's finest in the studio, Gang of Youths, David LaPepe and Max Dunn from the band. All right, boys.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good,
like you said, Australia's finest, because, like, what Midnight Oil going to be here, is that?
Yeah, well, that's
Jimmy Barnes? He's Scottish.
Yeah, try to think else is who's come here. You know what? There have been a few Antipodean invasions, and this is a good one. We're happy with this one.
Oh, thank Christ. AC/DC are a bit Scottish, too, so.
Well, I'm claiming them as our own. Yeah, they've got to be ours.
They actually grew up in Ashfield, and I grew up right next to Ashfield in Sydney.
What great heritage.
Yeah, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, falling in those little sort of school shorts.
Yeah.
How long is it before Gang Youths are in this little short school uniforms?
I'm actually wearing shorts underneath this. I'm wearing, like, tight little all-the-bar brown trunks, and I brought them just because I want to go to Brazil and show everyone how thick my thighs are.
He does have enormous
really thick thighs.
Good thighs.
I've got thick thighs and NBA player hands.
That's a good combination, that, isn't
it? Yeah.
Does it extend itself through the rest of the body?
I don't know. I kind of...
No, he's massively out of proportion.
Sadly,
Max's,
I know that.
Max has tiny little hands, actually.
I actually have Donald Trump hands. It's probably my only... Hopefully my only similarity.
And the humiliating fact is that Max is incredibly handsome, attractive, like intelligent older brother, has his colossal...
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, these meat clubs.
But tell you what, though, he's not touring the world in a rock and roll band, is he?
That's true.
He's a better musician than me, though.
I thought little hands might hold you back with a bass guitar.
It's made me have to approach it differently.
Yeah.
I genuinely have to change the tuning sometimes for a little
pause.
Stumps.
Lads, welcome back to London, right?
We live here.
You lived here, didn't you, for quite a while?
We're
2 years
here.
Ago.
We live here.
Are you full-time in this?
Full-time London.
How has this not been made aware of? I didn't know this.
We're just trying to avoid all the Australians here, actually.
Yeah, it's not easy to do that, to be honest, is it?
No, they're everywhere. Apparently, they're all in Clapham and Hammersmith and... Yeah. We live in a neighbourhood where there's literally zero Australians, which, you know, I miss Aussies, but at the same time, it's kind of nice to, like, feel like I'm in London, not in Melbourne.
What we lose in Australians that we gain in Boris Johnson, so it's not all good.
Well, you can always move back to Sydney to meet people from London on the gap year, couldn't you, if you want to tidy it up.
That's true.
Lads, you're looking forward to gigs in Islington next week, and I keep getting asked for tickets for it. You get the kind of feeling this is going to be one with a long guest list.
Man, I don't know. It's super weird because we've lived in London, but we've been away from London, so most of the guests who are coming, people don't even know. So it's
big gigs though, big shows.
Yeah, it's cool. Like that, I always felt like my wife and I were actually looking into getting married in that place before we got married. So it was weird walking past there the other day and be like, oh, that's weird that weird building has played like a strange small little role in my life.
Does it feel like home now, London?
For me, it does.
Totally.
Yeah.
We all live in a house with like. How many people? 8 people?
You live in a commune, experimental community. Band members and wives.
What's the point you realise that you have just been sort of totally ingratiated into this culture and you realise you're actually now British?
It's when my American wife from North Carolina via New York understands it's coming home. That moment for her was it was the most crystalline, beautiful thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
Because my wife, who does not understand football, does not care.
Yeah.
Was laughing at the top of her lungs in a pub with people saying it's coming home.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not going to accept that you're going to be England fans after this interview. I'm going to make you Scottish.
I'm already Scottish. Good. On the inside.
Max, can I make sure that you join that clan as well?
100%. Like, I despise all English sports teams.
Yes! Great. Come on, you two. The best band ever to be played on Radio X and ever will be played on Radio X. Gang Yous, they've just won me over forever. Right, boys. Gang Yous, what can I do if the fire goes out?
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That's What Can I Do If the Fire Goes Out by Gang of Youths. I'm Gordon Smart and I've got David LePepe and the lovely Max Dunn in front of me right now. Boys, never mind blowing smoke up your arses and telling you how wonderful you are. Could you share your pain of the worst gig you've ever played?
Maxie, we have a gig we all call within the band Bad Taco Night. It was in Los Angeles. And it was in a
which
place called...
Los Angeles, for a lot of people, is a joyous, wonderful place filled with magical rainbows and fairies and movie directors. And then if you're in the music industry just starting out, it is a place where dreams go to die. It is a vacuum, a soulless void filled with people who are going to chow down on every dream you have in your heart. That was at that stage. And now LA's great. But back then, it was just like... It was bleak. It was so hard. Sorry, continue, mate.
Oh, it was just like we always... This group, it's like, running out of a trench or playing a game of football.
Yeah.
Like, it's always all heart. And I think that's the only time we've all collectively got off and just thought, man, we sucked.
The upper echelon...
It was just garbage.
The upper echelons of the Los Angeles music fraternity were there and they kind of started just trickling out.
It was the worst show to suck at. Like, everybody, all the bookers.
Oh, no.
And I think we just... we went out for Mexican and then that sucked. So that's why we call it Bad Taco. Yeah,
what was so bad about it then? Was it just musically?
It was just paralyzingly stale inside the room. The sound was terrible. Like, gear was screwing up. I mean, and playing in front of music industry types when you're like a little band and you think that they're going to save your life,
yeah,
that's really intimidating. So when they give you absolutely nothing in return, when it's a sea of white faces just staring at you, drinking, talking, and then leaving one by one, it's just like pretty heartbreaking. And so... Like, we learned a valuable lesson 4 years ago, and now we're the most, light and easy, free, not jaded people on the planet, because I think we sort of forgot how to care about that stuff. And it was the worst gig ever, but it actually taught me the most about being in a band and what is actually important. And it's not, and it's taken us, like, more than half a decade, like 7 years, to get to any kind of point internationally, but it just feels like maybe that was a turning point for us. In terms of our attitude, it was one of the most profound lessons I ever learned doing this business. I think for Maxie too.
Yeah, it was definitely the only time I think everybody's got off and we spent like a day like no one talking.
Oh man!
And just it was like we'd lost like a really important match. How it felt.
Yeah, and with indigestion, just to make it even worse.
Terrible.
Insult to injury. Yeah.
It was just hard, man. It was just really hard. And I don't have flashbacks of it anymore because I'm so grateful that had we blown the socks off and done all this stuff afterwards, I doubt we would be in a good place as friends or as artists, I guess.
Right, we've got another track we're going to do, Let Me Down Easy, which is the song that really kind of brought you to our attention. And we've been playing it an awful lot, and we absolutely love it. And play to anybody who can get the word solipsism in a song.
Oh, I appreciate that, mate. It was less laboured over and more of the, what is the most unequivocally pretentious thing I could inject into a song about this? And I was just like, I don't know, one of the things I love about bands that are kind of more meaningful and serious rock bands is when the slight moments of humor come through. And that's really like, I don't know.
It's beautiful.
Like,
yeah. Arctic Monkeys managed to get quantitative easing in the last
quantitative album. Quantitative easing, And 4 stars out of 5. It's beautiful.
It's crazy. Yeah. Producer Vin's a man of words. I'm a journalist. And every time that song comes on, we look at each other and go, solipsism. Oh, what an effort that is. Absolutely brilliant.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Oh, it's massive tonight. People already getting in touch about it. Fonda500 on Twitter. One of the finest for sure. Craig as well. Craig 2 for me. The best rock album. And Adam as well. Who doesn't love Back in Black? That's right. It's AC/DC. July 1980. So it's coming up to 40 years old. I know that because I'm the same age as this album, which frightens me. But what an album it is. Their 7th album and such an important one for the band as well. The first AC/DC record to feature their new vocalist, Brian Johnson, the Geordie, after Bon Scott sadly passed away. The band considered splitting up, of course they did as well, but family and friends persuaded them to get a new vocalist and carry on, and it was definitely the right decision. The Black Album cover, it was designed to mourn Bon Scott. Apparently the band had to fight the record label for it, but they found a compromise and managed to get the name of the band on there, but with a background. Sold around 50 million copies worldwide. Just take a second to think how many copies that is. One of the best-selling albums of all time, and of course it got to number one just about everywhere. It was recorded in the Bahamas, for tax reasons, of course, and it was mixed in New York. There are a few issues with the Bahama recording, which I'll take you through. Tropical storms delayed them a few times. There was equipment that struggled to get through customs. One recording session had to be stopped because a crab was shuffling across the floor. Not very rock and roll, is it? It featured brilliant, brilliant songs like You Shook Me All Night Long, Hell's Bells, Shake a Leg, Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution, and Shoot to Thrill. Amazing songs. The band decided not to use any of Bon Scott's leftover lyrics because they thought it would be profiting from him posthumously. Rolling Stone said this about the album: "Still sounds thoroughly timeless, the essence of unrepentantly simple but savagely crafted hard rock." They called it their best ever work. So my memory of this album is a bit of a cassette tape that was on long car journeys, and it just kept you smiling, didn't it? What is your recollection of this album, Back in Black, AC/DC? Please get in touch and tell me. 83936 and at Radio X. I would love to hear from you. So two songs lined up for you. You Shook Me All Night Long, but first, the epic, the unmistakably, outstandingly brilliant Back in Black.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X. Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
I just want to play you the whole album. AC/DC's Back in Black. 50 million copies sold worldwide, and it's 40 years old next year. You Shook Me All Night Long, that was the first single. I remember the infamous artwork as well. Brian Johnson in the bath. What a picture. You can never forget it, can you? Back in Black before that, which was a tribute to the late Bon Scott. Band decided it should be a celebration, not morbid, and they definitely succeeded there. Often voted as one of the best guitar riffs ever written, and quite right too. Song you can hear in the background is Hell's Bells. Brian Johnson wrote the lyrics about the tropical storms the band were recording in the Bahamas at the time, and it was bursting his eardrums. What a tune. Got a message here. Hello, I remember seeing the Back in Black tour at the Hammersmith Odeon. It was that loud, it felt like they were knocking you, kicking you in the stomach, not playing the drums. Sounds great, that. Nice one, John. Thanks for it. And I think we'll finish on Rich Clark, who says this: "A must-have album in any rock fan's collection. What a way to open an album with the bells chiming as a dedication to Bon Scott. I love every track on it." I'll have another one for you next week. And remember, AC/DC, one of the greatest bands from Scotland of all time.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Two of the most handsome, talented, nearly swore gentlemen I've ever met are in front of me right now. The wonderful Max Dunn and David Lepepe from Gang of Youth. Now, lads, I was wondering if you'd do me the honour of helping me with my book. I'm writing a toilet book, which you would read when you go for a little think. And it's called Slash Gordon, right? And it's all about...
like Flash Gordon.
Yeah, a terrible pun. And it's all about awkward encounters, rock and roll encounters in the bathroom with famous people, right? Now, lads, you've toured with the Foo Fighters. You're off on the road to Mumford & Sons. You know some brilliant bands as well. Would you be able to give me an entry to the book? And feel free to be as full of hyperbole as you like.
I avoid famous people at all costs when I'm not having to interact with them. This is like a thing for me. I don't really... I really love people, so I love fans. So I'm all about it. This one time I was in a bathroom in Australia, and it was like 2017, 2018, I think. And I was like walking around, and then I was washing my hands, and like this really well-meaning, like nice kind of streaky bloke, like had a really nice haircut, like really well dressed. He looked at me and he froze. Like, and he zipped up his pants and he came over to me. He's like, "Hey, man." And he put out his hand and I just washed my hands. And I was like, "Do I touch his hand?" And so I kind of did one of these. I was like, "I'll give you an elbow." And then he touched my goddamned elbow. And so I had to wait till he left. I had to wait till he left. And then I'm standing there washing my elbow.
Yeah.
And then he walks back in. No. While I'm washing my elbow and I'm like, Gallagher. Yes, that was my painful. Time.
Played? Did you not play in front of 88,000 people or something in Sydney last year for the rugby league?
Oh yeah, that was.
Surely there must have been some big rugby lads kicking around looking to hang around with men in the toilets.
There's a bunch of big rugby legs.
Oh, I actually got yelled at for going for using the players' shed, the Roosters.
Perfect.
I just wanted to use the toilet.
Yeah,
and I went there, and then the team guy lost his
mind
stuff at me.
Right, lads, shall I move on to music very quickly again? I want to play a little song. You probably know of Sam Fender already, the song Hypersonic Missiles, but I just wanted to play it to you because I want to get your opinion of it because it feels like it's right up your street, right? So this is
I've heard this kid, he's superstar. He's pretty good,
right? Yeah, Sam Fender, Hypersonic Missiles on Radio X.
Dutch kids hot balloons in the park.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It sounds like a Hungry Heart era Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly what I was going to say to you, Sam Fender. He's a brilliant artist, but there does seem to be a bit of a Springsteen influence in a lot of music at the moment. I include your band in it as well, in such a good way. And I think you must be similar sort of ages. What are you, 27, 26, 27?
I just turned 27, yeah. 27 well, 92, years old. Yeah.
So when you were young, listening to music, was there a lot of Springsteen just around you? Or how has it sort of influenced your music?
Weirdly enough, my first memory was actually Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, because you got a Guns N' Roses tattoo now, haven't you? I think I saw that on the way
speaking
in.
Of Slash.
That was the character, yeah.
Speaking of Slash.
Yeah, speaking of Slash, having a Slash. I was like, Slash? Yeah. Slash? I would like to have a Slash next to Slash, Slash in the bathroom.
Well, David Grohl has beaten you to it, I'm afraid. And really? Chris Novoselic from Nirvana said, nice Slash. I'm afraid you've been beaten to it. It's the end of the book.
Oh, mate.
But Guns N' Roses was your first memory, yeah?
Yeah, my first memory, but I'm obviously like, you could probably tell that we're just a Bruce Springsteen cover band with, with a little bit of the National thrown in there. It was just really weird. Like, I was thinking about the bands that really influenced us, and like, for me, it was always like the Replacements, TV on the Radio, like Joni Mitchell, Bruce Springsteen, especially Bruce Springsteen for me. God. And it's interesting, like, thinking about it, like, what I listened to growing up, because, like, I remember Alligator by the National came out in 2005, and I was in the eighth grade. Do you know what I mean? So obviously I was profoundly influenced by, like, this whole new burgeoning American indie rock thing before I could even, like, you know, before I can even get on stage and play properly. And I've been playing in hardcore punk bands and stuff growing up. But most of the music we were surrounded really was, like, contemporary Christian music. Mm. And we had to go out and find our own thing. So Springsteen, for me, was, like, the answer to prayer in a way. Like, in the same way that, I guess, like, Slayer was.
Yeah.
You know, because it was the most evil-sounding stuff I could possibly imagine.
Such a pleasure to have you. I can't believe it's taken this long. But welcome aboard. The door's always open. And let's go and have some fun, eh?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's have a carry on. There we go. David LaPepe and the lovely Max Dunn from Gang of Youths. By the way, just before you go, my mum's a primary school teacher and she likes to correct radio DJs on the pronunciation. So are we saying youths or youths?
Youths.
Correct. Youths. You're right. You're right. Well, there's a debate in here about youths and youths, and it's youths.
I say youths, because my wife can't say THS words, right. So she really struggles. So
youth.
And she's like, gang of youths.
Extremely hard to say.
Yeah, no, it's youth. It should be youths, I know, but I say youths.
Here's one for her. The Leith Police dismisseth us and sympathiseth with us. Get her to say that.
The Leith Police
dismisseth
us
and sympathiseth.
And sympathiseth with us.
There you go, there's your warm-up. There you are, boys. There we go, Gang of Youths, as we now call them, here on Radio X, the best lads ever, the Scottish.
Thanks, Gordon. Radio X.